It's Sound Effect on KPLU. I'm Gabriel Spitzer. We're telling stories today of people coming out of the darkness. So sometimes you see somebody in a dark place, and from where you stand, you can see the way out, but they just can't manage to get free. And it's frustrating. Like, why can't you just help yourself? Well, Christy Hamilton says it's really hard to understand the barriers unless you've been there. She's been a registered nurse and homeowner, but for the last few years, she's struggled with addiction and homelessness. Now that she's back in the light, she can look back and understand better why it was so hard to pull herself out. Christy and I took a walk around her new neighborhood in Seattle's International District, and she shared her story of coming out of the darkness.
I started drinking alcoholically at age 15. My first drink was Everclear. That should have told you something. And when I was 30, I was working for the state of Alaska and went to them, told them I had a problem. They sent me to treatment. I actually had 22 years of sobriety. So I was sober until 2009, and then that's when pretty much everything took a turn. My mom died, my house got repossessed, and I ended up just giving up. I lost the house. My brother passed away. I broke my leg. I got a DUI. I ended up going to treatment several times, and I just couldn't get it. And I became very depressed and wanted to just end it all. Got suicidal. Just thought, you know, WTF. There was nothing out here for me. And then I got involved in crack down in Tacoma, and that cost me about $50,000. And of course, every bit of goodwill, every familial or friendship that I had was broken. Any kind of trust, any dignity that I might have had, any sort of integrity was just gone at that point. And I hit bottom. God, Gabriel. I got blackout drunk one day and threw television out a 10-story window. Almost killed somebody.
Did you have a house or a home to go back to?
No. By November of 2014, I was homeless. So I've been on the streets since then. Staying behind the library down there, and then I went to Kent Hope Shelter for a while, and I stayed in the back of my car, on people's couches, on floors, outside if it was nice camping. And I guess what did it for me, well, I know what did it for me, is that this church I go to, I got baptized there, and a month later, that compulsion to drink was just lifted. I felt a renewal of spirit. I felt a lessening of the fear that had plagued me for my entire life. Just nameless fears, fears of not being good enough, fear of not being lovable, fear of being a bag lady. And I felt this renewal, this connection, like I say, and I was no longer feral. I felt hope, and for the first time in years.
So you got approved for basically, it's a Section 8 housing voucher, a subsidy, and those things are like a golden ticket. I mean, there's a long wait for those.
I felt like Charlie Bucket.
And then what happened? You must have gone out looking for a place?
I was at the library every day, online searching housing, Craigslist, Zillow, ForRent.com, Hotpads, any of them.
So how did the house hunt go?
It didn't go well. I had two evictions, which are major barriers, and then I had the misdemeanor charges. But landlords, prospective landlords, seeing that, you could see the veil come down, and they would just say, thank you, don't call us, we'll call you. So by law...
How many places you think said that?
Oh, Lord. There were hundreds. I visited hundreds of places, called hundreds of places.
So, I mean, your barriers with you had these blemishes on your record.
Yes, I do, like big zits.
But how many other people in your position had the same kind of zits?
Lord almighty, this resume class that I went to at SHA, there were a dozen other people, and they all had the same barriers. One woman had multiple felonies, and she had probably been to as many places as I had, trying so hard to find places and just being told no before you even get a yes anywhere, a foot in the door.
So when you're going from living on the street or in your car, there's a lot of steps you got to go through bureaucratically, right? What does being without a home, how does that affect your ability to actually go through the steps you have to?
Good Lord. Yeah, there's such a disorganization. It's incredibly fractionating. I felt so much a part of me was in this seat or this bag or this box. Did I leave this here? Do I need one of these? What appointment do I have today? How can I present myself when I haven't had a shower for a minute? I don't know about you. I wake up in the morning. I have coffee. My morning ablutions in the restroom, get dressed, have breakfast, whatever. And it becomes a settling, comforting routine. There is none of that when you're homeless.
Sometimes when we wake up, when we're housed, and you go through those rituals you're talking about, and then you sit down and you think, okay, what am I going to do today? And you make a plan. What was getting up in the morning like for you when you didn't have housing?
Well, take for instance, sleeping in my car. If it was warm out, that was fine. I'd get up and look around and make sure there were no cops. Maybe I'd go into the Fred Meyer to use the restroom, discreetly trying to take my toothbrush and face cloth in to wash. And then decide, who do I need to call today? Where can I go to the library to search for housing? Geez, I left my sleeping bag over at so-and-so's house. That's a long drive. I can't go down there today. Oh, I have an appointment in Kent. I wonder if they can reschedule it. I don't have the gas money. Maybe I can take a bus, and that's an all-day trip.
Everything must take longer than it does when you have a sort of home base.
There's no central point. There's no hub. It's a spokeless wheel. There's no hub to start from, and a hub is essential. There were days when I didn't know what to do.
So, what have we here?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Gabriel Spitzer. This is called Hirabayashi Place. Nice security door after you.
Thank you.
And it's so brand new, they're still in the process of finishing it.
What does it smell like in here?
It smells like fresh wax on the floor. It smells like fresh paint.
Have you ever lived in a building like this?
No, never, never had a new place, ever.
Well, what's it like to walk through that front door?
Gabriel, I'm home. I walk in and I'm safe. I know that I can go take a nap if I need to. I know that I can go have a bath. I can cook a turkey. I live here. I live here. This is my home. I have an address.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Okay, so we're on the fifth floor. Brand new wood. I like my floor. It smells good. There's a lady that wears a nice perfume, and people cook on this floor. Oh, garlic and onion. It just makes me hungry.
How long have you been in here now?
I've been here about 2 weeks and 2 days.
2 weeks.
2 weeks, yeah.
Wow.
Look at this bathroom. You can sleep in it. Big tub.
It's like a one bedroom, or would you call it a studio?
Yeah, and it's 14 paces from the door to the window.
Well, we talked about that feeling of not having a place to rest, of not having a hub, of not having a home base where you could kind of organize yourself. What here gives you that feeling of having a hub?
That bed over there, that nest. I'm a nester, and so I feel safe over there in my little corner with my blankies and my pillows, and there's a sanctuary for me. This place is a peaceful sanctuary. There's no alcohol in here, no smoking. I want to do the right thing. I want to keep this place. I want to do what it takes and be a sober, committed, participating member of my community.
Christy Hamilton lives in Seattle.